Hey, Nikki.
Hey, Rashani, how are you doing?
I'm good. I got the magnet.
You know, I don't have what's called address.
Jay?
No, I
Scar?
have scars.
Scar.
He
Okay,
never.
I have it. I'll find it and I'll get it to you.
Yeah, so if you guys all like, oh, we got one, scars, like, why well, I didn't get one? I was like, because you forgot the address.
We know why Scar didn't get one. You didn't even remember his name till last week.
That's not true. He's a Virgo. He comes above all you guys.
Whatever. We know the
Ireland.
truth.
Yeah.
Hi, Rashani. Hi, Jay. Hi.
No, because I know everyone's government names, and I have to remember people don't like to go by their government names. I don't know what people, I don't know what people do for work. You might got a job that they you can't be having governments out there. I don't.
Whew, God, the latest episode of the Dream Team. We pushing some boundaries on that one too.
Oh, I can't wait for it to come out. Did it come out yet?
No, we recorded it today, but then I had to go to my tournament, so I'm going to put it out tonight after we get done recording this.
Okay, yay! Something to listen to. Normally, your shows are so long, it takes me one full work day to listen to it.
Golly, let me tell you, this one is like 3 hours.
Okay, that's gonna take like a full work day and a half because, like, you guys gotta remember, I gotta pause to deal with crazy coworkers. And just so everyone know, I am currently looking for a new job. I have decided that I will not be emotionally abused and be
No.
annoyed by a crazy coworker because crazy will stay crazy, and I'm gonna be the one to die of a heart attack. And we're not doing that. So
Exactly.
I have filed EEOC complaints and HR complaints, and I have been sending out my resumes. And so far, I have gone on two interviews with two different companies, and I ha called up some homies, and they're sending. They sent me sent my, my resume to their hiring managers for some positions I like. So pray for your girl to get me up out of here because it ain't working. I'm not losing my edges behind nobody. Not doing it.
Well, put me down as a reference and I'll lie for you.
Thank you. You know what? Our people are so good for that.
All right. I don't understand why more people don't do it. Like, I don't even live, I don't care if I don't live in the same area as you. I will lie my happy ass off. Hell yeah.
Yeah,
Nikki,
I know.
Nicole, girl, look.
My white friends get very weird about that. Like,
I don't want to
what?
lose my job.
I'm like, first of all, I was like, just tell them this. Like, I told them you worked at this company from this date. Well, what if they find out? I was like, first of all, who they can't check your reference to without a signed document. What are you talking about? So yeah. I have a list of friends, and I actually do have some reputable references. Like, I do have letters of recommendations from past employers who are always happy for me to put their name down, but just in case something falls through. You know what I mean? Can never
Yeah.
be too
I
sure.
mean, I'm always ready to say to somebody's the hardest worker I've ever seen in their life.
You know, some people on Twitter, they have needed my help in the past, and I have given it to them. And guess what? They got good jobs now, better jobs. And I didn't do the, well, I said, no, tell me what I need to say. Where did I work with you? And what was my role? That's all I need to do. That's all. Just tell me when we worked together. What was my role? What you tell them about me? Just screenshot what you told them, and I'll repeat it, and I'll add in how great you were, and I'll. Don't worry, I'll tell you everything I said too. Don't worry. So you don't get all blind, you know, like, what? Oh, okay.
Yo, just let me know the dates that we were together and my position title, like official position title, and my name. Like, if my name is supposed to be like Reginald, just let me know ahead of time. So when they call and say, "Can I speak to Reggie?" I'm like, "Nigga, stop calling me at this number. I told you there's no Reggie here, fucking telemarketers." And then hang up, and then they call back again, and I got to get the voice. I'm like, oh, hello, hello, hello.
Hi, thank you for calling Nicole. How may I help you?
Well, hello, this is Reggie.
Hi, Reggie. I'm here to get a reference for Jay. He said you were his district manager for 2 years,
He was the
from
best.
2008 to 2010.
He was the best. That's how you do it. You got to interrupt softly while they're talking, like you're so excited to talk about how great somebody is that you can't help
Right?
yourself. He was the best. He was the best. Oh my God, Jay, what can I say about Jay? He was the just so conscientious.
Went above and beyond. Never had
Never.
to ask. He was already ready.
And it was like one time he's got it, and then it's just like he just refined his craft until he became just the best employee I had. Just, oh my, oh,
This
just
working with him, I would take him back any day.
In a heartbeat. in an instant, just if like, if tomorrow he was like, I want to come back, no problem, Jay. We're so happy. I am blessed to have had the opportunity to work with that guy. Yeah. I think I learned more from him than he did from me.
Exactly.
And that's how you lie like a motherfucker to get somebody promoted. And that's how
we keep the community getting jobs. So, yeah. So, like, it's only, like, yeah, it's only my white friends who always act really iffy about it. I'm like, never mind, forget it. Don't, that's why, like, I learned years ago, they won't do it. But, like, I used to, I have a list of people. I have friends, like, I haven't talked to in years. They'll be like, hey, Nicole, somebody gonna call you. You worked in here with me. This is blah, blah. I got you. Like, every once in a while. So, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do. And also making fake pay stubs for people. Come on now, just help.
Yeah.
Just like, I have friends who make well over six figures, but didn't want to pay the full price of daycare. And they had needed a pay stub to get into the low income daycare. And someone goes, well, they're taking the spot from someone else. I don't know that. Like, look, they black. They deserve that spot. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Reparations. We got to give her wherever we can. Someone goes, why do you love Francis so much? Reparations.
He pays him. He wants him. You know what reparations are in our relationship? He eats the booty like groceries.
Oh my God. And Francis, we were literally just talking about that yesterday because he has a friend who like told him like, oh, I love doing that. And Francis basically shamed the hell out of him. I was like, what is wrong with you? He goes, what was I supposed to say to that? And then he had a friend, a female friend who dated this guy. And when they broke up, she was going like how like he's really into that and she wasn't. So, and I was like, you're
look guys.
Worry, those friends would never listen to this podcast because I don't even think they like me and know that I exist. Well, they know I exist, but they don't talk to me. Which is fine. They'll be at the wedding probably. They're getting an invite, but I don't know. They'll probably be busy. That's fine. One less mouth to feed because right. It's like $35 a plate. And trust me, you know, someone already told me I'm not coming to your wedding. Oh, okay. Thank you for saving me money. Have a nice day. Bye.
Right, yo, yeah. And only certain people get the bye.
Yeah. Like bye. Have a nice day. Thank you.
Like, there's two ways to do it. You're either nice about it or nice for what? Like, bye, bitch. It's just like, yo, I can never catch the reasons why people get the bye like that. Boy.
Anyhow. Welcome to the show, guys. We're on book four, The Goblet of Fire. Yes. Come on down. It's like the price is right. You get to go to the Goblet of Fire. You get to go to the Goblet of Fire. You got to go, and you were chosen. I mean, your name was even on the list. Everyone, Goblet of Fire time.
That's how you know Harry was white, because even though he was too young and wasn't supposed to be on that motherfucker, he still got to be in the Goblet of Fire.
Yeah.
Like, other people, black folks, Lee Jordan, who's also black. I just like pointing out the black characters in this book. Lee Jordan, who's also black, along with Hermione and Lavender, who were black. Episode 4. Nikki's in the building. I'm Rashani. Lee Jordan was Fred and George's homeboy. He was also the announcer for Quidditch, and he was dope as shit. Shout out to him. Because he was the Shade King of Quidditch. Like, every time somebody from another class did something, he was talking shit on the low. He was talking shit out loud. But they tried to get through the invisible but really their line to put in their name to the Goblet of Fire. Look, let's start from the beginning.
Yes.
Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire starts off with Harry seeing Frank Bryce, a muggle groundskeeper who's walking through a house, the Riddle House. He got killed by Lord Voldemort, and Harry sees all this in a dream because the Lord Voldemort has his giant ass snake Nagini. You see what I'm doing? See, yep. Long snake. Voldemort wasn't black though. Nagini was slithering through the hall, and as she was slithering by, she saw Frank hiding, listening to Voldemort talk to Wormtail, Peter Pettigrew. We talked about him in the last episode. He used to be Scabbers, but now he's Wormtail because Voldemort just likes pissing on all his followers. Like, he's mean to everybody.
Right. And they still keep coming.
Because abuse. Yeah. So Nagini slithers past Frank while he's in the hallway hiding out. And instead of freaking the fuck out and running when a huge-ass snake slides past you and doesn't eat you, nigga, obviously if the snake goes right past you and doesn't eat you, that's a sign from God that this is a warning shot.
You but he was ran. Right. White people don't care about danger.
And that nigga came right out. That white dude came right out and said, "There, my wife is outside, and you're doing horrible things." He literally went Michael Jackson at the end of Bad on that nigga. "You're telling me you're doing wrong? Gonna lock you up before too long." And Voldemort was like, "No, you ain't, because Nagini just told me that there's nobody outside but you." And then Nagini ate the shit out of that white dude. The end of his life. Harry woke up with his scar hurting. Then later on down the line, the Weasleys show up at Harry's house and they're like, "Yo, we're taking him with us for the World Cup. Quidditch World Cup." And the Dursleys are like, "Who the fuck are you?" And they were like, "Oh, we like your house. It's so full of just horrible muggle shit." Like, Ron's dad was just like over the moon with all the shit that was in their house. And he was like, "Is this a Felitone?"
Yeah, and they came through their chimney and were like, they were messing stuff up. And you know, the Dudleys, they're not like, they're very, very passive aggressive. So instead of like correcting their behavior, they just stood there and just kept looking at them and side-eyeing. And wizards don't understand. They just did a, why does he do that? Sorry. Francis just tried to scare me. sorry. They were just messing up his house. I mean, they just kept side-eyeing and, you know.
And so they, like, as they're leaving out, because they're teleporting through the fire, they're using flu powder to teleport through the fire back to their house and everything. And everybody's looking at Dudley. Because Dudley, every time there's some magical person comes to the house, he gets fucked up somehow. Something happens to him. Except for when Harry turned Aunt Marge into a blimp. Other than that, Dudley still remembers getting the pigtail. And so he's like, "No, I'm not fucking with y'all." And Fred and George are looking at Dudley and they leave a toffee sitting on the table.
Because they know this fat dude.
And they know that he's on a diet. Like,
he... Oh, yeah, that's right. They're on the diet this book. And they've been starving.
Mm-hmm. So they put a toffee on the table and just leave it there and walk away. And Dudley throws a toffee in his mouth. And it's actually... as they turn around and start getting into the fire to go away, Dudley starts choking on his fucking tongue because what the toffee actually was a curse that's called 10-ton tongue toffee. And so Dudley's tongue is getting too big for his mouth and he's starting to choke on it. These motherfuckers tried to kill Dudley. Their dad sticks around like, "Oh, I'm sorry that happened. You know, my kids are just, they're so playful," and saves Dudley's life. And so Vernon, trying to be gangster, starts yelling at Mr. Weasley, Arthur, and starts yelling at Harry, too. And he's like, "Get the fuck out of here. I didn't want you around anyway." And Mr. Weasley turns around. He's like, "That wasn't nice." Which was funny to me. "That wasn't nice. You shouldn't talk to him like that. Apologize." And Harry was like, "Nah, they always talk to me like that."
Yeah. And if you, like, throughout the book, anytime there's a situation where, within the series, when it's between Harry and his aunt and uncle, like, the wizards stay acting, like, confused that there's not, like, love there. And Harry be like, "Nah, they don't like me." Like, it's always, like, they treat Harry like neighbors that you don't speak to that you don't like. And like, it's always like, and such felt this was odd. I'm like, he been telling y'all since day one that them people crazy, and y'all just be like, maybe they're just in a bad mood. No, they're not in a bad mood. They're bad people.
They don't like me at all. Like, I tell y'all this and y'all think I'm lying, but they really don't fucking like me. So... Right. Harry's like, don't worry about it. Shit's awkward. They hop into the fire and leave out. They go back to the poorhouse.
The house has...
And so...
Scraps.
And so they go back to the Weasley household, and there Harry meets Bill and Charlie. And then Miss Weasley turns around and gets on Fred and George's helmet for making the 10-ton tongue toffee because it's part of their shop, Weasley's Wizard Wheezes, you know, their joke magic shop.
Right, because they've been, like, they're trying to get their business together.
Mm-hmm. And basically, they're like, fuck that kid. He's good. It worked. We're good. And she's like, well, fuck y'all. Go clean up your rooms and pretty much choose them out the way. The next day, they all head off. The Weasleys, Harry and Hermione, head off to the Quidditch World Cup. They travel by a port key, which is like some random thing that'll teleport you from one place to another very quickly, because a lot of them, well, the kids, Harry, Hermione, Ginny, and Ron, are unable to do, what's it called when they just teleport by themselves? They can't
operate.
They can't operate yet. So they do that, and when they do that, they get there early, and they get there at the same time as Cedric Diggory, who's a fucking Hufflepuff. And he's a Hogwarts student and his dad. And together they arrive and they head off to pitch their tent. Cedric's dad is a fucking dickhole.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think Harry won a goal against Cedric Diggory in the last book, but he was played by someone else. This book, he was played by Robert Pattinson, AKA the glowing, what's that thing? Vampire, AKA he dates black girls. Mm-hmm. AKA he date black girls, so he's good in my book. And he was engaged to one. So I appreciate the man. But yeah, he was played by him in this. He played him in this book. So the dad was like being all rude to Harry. He goes, remember that one time I beat my son? It was by accident. He had a cough that day. But my son's number one. And his son, and you know, just all embarrassed. He's like, my dad's crazy. Ignore him.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, man. My dad is fucking nuts. Fuck this dude. So they go and set up their tent and everything, and their tent looks poor as shit, and they're apologizing. They're all like, oh, no, our tent is all beat up. And then they go inside, and their tent's like a fucking palatial palace, looking like the tent that the dudes were hanging out in the desert in John Wick Part 3 and shit.
Don't get the reference. Never seen the movie. But I own them.
You should see John Wick 3.
I own all three John Wicks. I'll get on that.
Once you see it, you'll never unsee it, because it's something that, man, that movie is fucking incredible. Anyhow, they run into Ludo Bagman, who used to play Quidditch and is kind of stupid, but now he's the announcer of the World Cup. And he's like, yo, I'm taking bets for who's going to win the fucking World Cup. And the twins make a outlandish bet that Ludo's like, I'll take that money. And he walks off. Soon after, everybody else arrives, and Barty and Mr. Crouch, who is Percy's boss at the Ministry of Magic, shows up, and he's calling Percy everything but his first name. And I'm not saying that like he's cussing him out. I'm just saying it like he's saying it like Percy is so unimportant.
Like, and he's Mr. like, Percy, Paul, Peter,
this. And he's like, and yes, John. Mr. Crouch. Oh, my God, Mr. Crouch. It's like a puppy running around its master. Oh, my God, Mr. Crouch. He's so great. And so he's jubilant for the festivities. And before they leave, Mr. Crouch and Ludo allude to a mysterious event that will happen at Hogwarts later on. Harry, Ron, and Hermione went and bought souvenirs, and they went up to the top box that they got tickets for because Mr. Weasley won them in a contest, I believe. And when they get up there, they meet Winky, who's a house elf who's saving a seat for her master, Mr. Crouch.
Winky, the very nice house elf, does not speak in slave.
No, she speaks in field nigga.
Yes. No, more of a house. Like a house wench.
Yeah, that one.
Is that appropriate?
It is.
Okay, just make it. I don't want any black listeners telling me something. I'll be like, your mama was, okay, never mind. Let's go forward.
Worrying about what the black folks are going to do, but they are literally good. You are okay.
You know, it's the white listeners. I'll be like, don't repeat that. White listeners, please, anything that comes out my mouth, do not repeat to your white friends or your black friends, especially to your white friends, because then they'll think it's okay. And then that's when they get the taste slapped out their fucking mouth. Mm-hmm. And we don't want that. I don't want that happening. But if you deserve it, it should. So I'm just throwing that out there. That's my PSA. You know, the more you know. Do-do-do-do.
So... The game begins. Before the game begins, the coolest thing happens, which is where the mascots of the World Cup come out and do their thing.
Yes.
And the first one is for the Irish Quidditch team. Leprechauns come out and they start throwing money in the air. They start throwing money in the air and motherfuckers lose their entire shit.
Yes, they're throwing these coins and there are people like, yes, coins, coins.
And so they start, the kids start grabbing for the coins. This is their first time seeing it. And Mr. Weasley's like, yeah, y'all niggas might want to be careful because that shit is fool's gold. It's not even real. Look at it.
Yeah, it's going to evaporate.
And it evaporated. Mm-hmm. And then the next group for Bulgaria comes out and it's some fucking Vilas. And Vilas are bad motherfuckers. They some sirens.
Yeah, they're sirens.
And so they come out and dudes, like when I say the first time around, when I said they lost their minds over the money that was being thrown, when the Vilas come out, dudes lose their shit. Like, niggas are ready to jump over balconies to get to them when they're up about 70 stories trying to jump down to the field to get closer to these Vilas. There's guys, the referees are like old men who are like all of a sudden caught up in the rapture and flexing their muscles and smoothing out their mustache and this shit trying to get close to these women because just when they do their dance.
Yes. Yes, it's like Players Club.
Mm-hmm.
Where homegirl came out for the first time. What's her name? You know her name. The one who only wears white in real life?
Diamond,
yes. Oh, side note, did you hear the clip about how when she said when she was working with, the clueless girl, Stacey Dash, and her and Stacey Dash kind of got in an argument, and she said Stacey Dash walked away from her, and they had to stop her to go to Stacey Dash's room because she said Stacey Dash started a conversation with her and she was going to go to her dressing room just to politely finish it. And I was like,
also Stacey Dash can't fight. Look at her. Yeah. Stacey can't fight. She called the cops a lot.
Yeah, and Diamond, her half-sister is Debrett, ain't it? Yeah, I think her half-sister is Debrett. I know she's related to Debrett one way or another. They don't look alike, but I think they share like a daddy or a mama. They share a parent. You know, one of them got the better bag of jeans than the other.
Yeah, her sister, Debrett, is her sister somehow.
Wait, who?
Lisa Ray McCoy is related to her somehow. Half-sister.
Okay, I'm about to say somebody, mama.
She's the younger. The Brad is the younger half sister of actress and former model Lisa Ray McCoy through her father.
Okay, the Brad mama wasn't okay. Never mind. Proceed back to. Let me not say nuts. Let me stop. The Brad will fight, and she can whoop my ass. I ain't gonna lie. So we're gonna move on.
Probably. So let's see what else. So the Quidditch game pops off and it's a World Cup and it's fucking amazing. And what the boys had bet was that Ireland was going to win the match, but that Victor Crumb, who was Bulgaria's seeker, which, as you remember, is the person who goes after the small ball, the golden snitch, and tries to capture it to get 50 points. Or the 500 points. 50 points, I think. It's a number. Anyhow, they bet that he was going to get the snitch, but that his team was still going to lose to Ireland.
Right.
Which is what happened.
Yes.
So the Twins went looking for Ludo, and Ludo gave them a huge bag of coins, and they were looking at each other, grinning and shit. After the game happened, the night after the game, a crowd of Death Eaters who escaped punishment had tortured four Muggles by levitating them into the air. Harry, Hermione, and Ron escaped from this by fleeing into the woods, but then Harry discovers that his wand is missing. Moments after that, someone fired the Dark Mark, which is a snake slithering through a skull.
Yeah, skull with snakes in the eye sockets, right?
And yeah, and it's the sign of Voldemort. Someone fired the Dark Mark using his or her wand. Winky the house elf is found holding the wand at the scene of the crime. And then mayhem happened afterwards because niggas at the Ministry of Magic didn't want to admit that there was even, that Voldemort was even back.
Right, because so they can't go back to that. Like, they don't want to go back to that era.
Because that's straight chaos.
Right. Oh, one thing about the Vilas that I kind of take issue with is that the Vilas, they're sirens, so they're not 100% human, but they're kind of human. But they're like white women with blonde hair. There ain't no black Vilas. I looked it up when I read the book. I was like, can a Vila be black? And the answer was no. And I just have an issue with that. You're just saying that only white blonde women are beautiful. And that's just my little thing, side note. Black girls are pretty too.
I agree wholeheartedly. So they find out that in addition to whatever surprise is happening at Hogwarts that they haven't found out about, there's going to be a dance at Hogwarts, like a homecoming dance almost. And so they have to buy robes for the homecoming or for this dance. Ron, of course, receives horrible hand-me-down robes from his mother, and he's upset because they got frills and shit on them.
They gave him a dress. His mama got a dress and basically made it into a robe. He looked like Elton John circa 1972. Okay.
I'm still standing.
Not in a good way. Not the good Elton John suits. The old haggard ones.
Yeah.
He stay broke. not Elton John. I'm talking about the Weasleys. Like, they don't, like, they ain't gonna get no Uber. They can't get no side jobs.
No, they run with Harry hoping for trickle down that they never really want to ask for.
And Harry hip to it too. And throughout the book, Harry be saying that. He'll like, Harry will dim his light because he's like, I do have the money to give to Ron, but I'm not. Like, that is a common theme. Harry's an asshole. I just want to put that out there. There's a couple of times Harry's like, I could get this for Ron, but no, I'm good. Bye.
It's okay. I'll see you later.
Stay broke, my nigga. Stay broke.
Young, dumb, young, dope, dumb and broke. So Amos Diggory comes up to them while they're looking at their robes and shit and brings news that a man named Mad-Eye Moody attacked an intruder at his house. Mr. Weasley then runs to the ministry to sort everything out. And the Weasleys, Harry and Hermione, all leave to take taxis to the train station and board the train to Hogwarts. After the sorting ceremony and in the middle of dinner at the Hogwarts Great Hall, Dumbledore announces two things. One, that the Triwizard Tournament between schools will take place that year at Hogwarts, and also that Mad-Eye Moody will be the new teacher again of Defense Against the Dark Arts. Mad-Eye is fucking dope.
Yes. Actually, before I read the books, I never got it when Francis would call Luke Mad-Eye Moody. And I was like, what?
I see it. It's fucked up.
Yeah. And now that, yeah. So he is my son. It does look like, he doesn't look like Mad-Eye Moody, but sometimes, because, you know, his prosthetic, it'd be rolling.
Yep.
Like Mad-Eye Moody. And before he had his prosthetic, he had the clear thing there. So it looked like a regular eye and a magnified eye. So I was like, yeah, you do. I said, my baby looked like Mad-Eye Moody. And for all you motherfuckers out there saying, you shouldn't say that for kids. No, fuck you. I'm building my son's character. So when your raggedy ass kids try to make fun of him, you're like, fuck you. I got high self-esteem. So go fuck yourselves.
And I can see it. And now that you said it's okay, I got a new nickname for him. I'm going to just keep y'all's. That's dope.
Yeah, like he's been called Baby Thor. They call him, what's that name? The rapper with the messed up eye?
Oh, y'all called him Fetty Wap.
Yeah, so my stepdad calls him Fetty Luke. So yeah, he got nicknames. So all y'all out there, like, come on now, it's your kids. I have to prepare my child for. Remember that.
Mm-hmm. So, Mad Eye. First of all, Draco tries to attack Harry while Harry's back is turned in the hallway. Mad-Eye sees that shit.
With the other eye.
With his other eye, the rolls in the back of his head, he sees that shit. And he turns.
That's how we can see behind his head, because the other eye literally rolls to the back.
He turned Draco into a motherfucking ferret and bounced that bitch off the ground. Like he would, he turned him into a ferret, first of all, and then he levitated him into the air and bounced his ass off the ground while talking shit. You bounce, will bounce, respect, bounce, the boundaries, bounce of these kids. And every time he bounced up higher, and then he would come down even faster with a splat. And that's when I was like, this nigga is ruthless. I like him a lot.
Yeah, Professor McGonagall came rolled up. Was like, you, we don't do that type of punishment for the kids. We give them detention. And he's like, okay, all right. See how far that got you. How many detentions he have?
Right. With his bitch ass. Like, yo, you give them detentions. I give them magic. So then he went into deep into the dark arts. And the first thing he taught Gryffindor was the three unforgivable curses, which were Imperius, Cruciatus, and Avada Kedavra, which the cursor killed Harry's parents. Right. Now, Cruciatus, or Imperius, is the spell where you were unable to have control of your own body, your mind control. Right. The way that he did that was by taking a spider, which freaked Ron out, because he enlarged the spider to the size of a tarantula and made the spider start doing cartwheels. Everybody was laughing and enjoying it and thinking it was funny until he was like, yeah, now think about if y'all niggas got hit with that spell. He was like, there was a lot of Death Eaters who came back to society without getting arrested by claiming that they were hit with that spell. And so even though they didn't want to be Death Eaters, they were mind controlled and became Death Eaters, which was bullshit.
Yeah, he was able on that bullshit, but we couldn't prove otherwise.
And total vigilance. Like, he kept screaming that. He was like, you just got to be vigilant around these mugs because you don't know what's going on. The second one was Cruciatus, which literally breaks your bones on top of their bones and turns your body, like, into a horrible, horrible, like, he, in the book, when he did this spell to the spider, they said that you could hear the spider scream.
Yeah.
Which is just like, oh my God. And those are that's the spell that Neville Longbottom's parents had put on them.
Yeah.
Which
is crazy too, right?
Which drove them crazy.
Right.
And then Avada Kedavra, which is basically just a death curse. You say that, niggas is gone. And after that, they all leave out. Neville is about to leave out the class when Mad-Eye is like, yo, Neville, stick around. I got a book for you, because he knows that whole thing fucked with him. So he gives him a book on herbology, which is dope of him. I really liked Mad-Eye. Like, really liked him.
Mad-Eye's a good dude.
He's like the favorite teacher. Like, he's the one. Like, it was him and Lupin that are my two favorites.
Yeah, I will agree with that. Because they were really on some, let me teach these kids what they need to know. And, yeah, they were not, like, they were very upfront and honest, like, mm-hmm. about their flaws. Like, they weren't on no what? Like, Sirius Black? But
you're gonna leave that black man alone.
Oh no. After this podcast, I'll be sending you a picture of my son trying to say the word spiders. He does not say it correctly. He says fuckers.
I still don't understand how that works.
Neither do I. So we really believe that someone kept calling spiders fuckers in front of him. I don't have a fear of spiders, neither does Francis. So somebody, so he was at the zoo with his babysitter and they had a spider exhibit and he kept saying, fuckers, fuckers.
I mean, I appreciate it and I'm okay with it.
It's funny, but it's like, how did we get here?
Exactly. Okay, which one of y'all fuckers taught my kid that the phrase for this is fuckers? When you know it's fucking spiders, you fuckers. No, not you. Not you, Mad Eye. You stop. You stop. It's spiders.
He can say spoon, fine. And spoon and spider have that same SP. So it's not the SP sign because he'll be...
Nigga, spider and fucker don't have anything alike. So it's not that.
Like, I'm like, someone goes, can he say other words that start with SP? He says spoon quite well. He eats. He needs a fork and a spoon with his dinner because some things he only uses with a spoon and some things he only eats with a fork and his food cannot touch. If his food touches, he'll look at you and go, mama, yucky. Yuck. Mm. That's that light skin in him.
Hermione is still pissed off at the way that Winky was treated at the Quidditch World Cup. When Winky was blamed for the Dark Mark being fired off into the air. And so Hermione makes a group formed a society to promote the rights of house elves known as SPEW, which is Society for the Promotion of Elfish Welfare. Yes, Hermione goes off to free the fucking slaves. Tell me again that Hermione's not black, ladies and gentlemen.
White women don't free slaves.
White women benefit from slaves.
They do. They do. Everyone was benefiting. And anytime she tries to say, you know, this is why they people like, it's like, basically, it's like she's trying to boycott the iPhone because she knows that the people who make the iPhone got suicide nets around the building. And she's trying to say, well, I don't, the iPhone is bad. But then they try to pull her in with, but girl, you got a MacBook Pro at your house. And then she's like, but it doesn't make it okay. Well, you like to FaceTime, and she's just like, look, bastards, I told y'all it's not okay. So they always try to justify, they kept trying to justify it, and she stayed with that same energy. She still got that energy in her old age, probably. She still got it.
And that's how you know that Ron and her probably didn't have the best relationship after they got married, because he just kept talking down to her. He denigrated her. Like, every time she came up with an idea, he was just talking shit about it.
Because he's a white man. He can't let a black woman outshine him.
Mm-hmm. And Harry was right there with him, quiet as kept. Harry was like, yeah, I'll support it, but not really. So right. Harry wasn't
shit either. He don't support in a relationship, dating out your race. Like, it's okay for other people, but it ain't okay for his friend. You know what I mean? I got me a good white man who supports me. He don't dim my light. He makes sure it stays well lit. When it starts to dim, he turns it back up. That's the kind of white man you need. But, you know, Hermione didn't get that because she fell in love young and she didn't know no better. That's all that was.
So, in October, the delegates from Beauxbatons and Durmstrang arrived for the Triwizard Tournament. And one of the members from Durmstrang is Victor Crumb, who, again, is the Quidditch player, the Seeker, for Bulgaria. On Halloween, the Goblet of Fire spits out the names of the people who will be in the Triwizard Tournament, because everybody put their name into the fire who was of a certain age. You had to be a certain age to be able to cross the fake line that they had. Again, Lee, Fred, and George tried to make it past that line and all sprouted huge beards that made them look like white, that made them look like old men. And looked at each other and laughed because, you know, it was all good.
Right.
But on Halloween night, the Goblet of Fire spit out the names of the champions who will compete in the Triwizard Tournament. and the champions, there were one for each house. So for Hogwarts, it is Cedric Diggory. For Durmstrang, it is Victor Crumb, of course.
Right.
For Beauxbatons, it is Fleur Delacroix, who is part Vila.
Yes.
And then Harry Potter selected as well. And everybody's like, how the fuck? Wait, what? And so everybody's like, Dumbledore, you cheated somehow. That's what the dude from Durmstrang, the head wizard from Durmstrang is saying. You cheated somehow to get your boy in there. And Dumbledore's like, eh. No, I didn't.
Yeah. And yeah, go ahead. You don't mention it. I just don't like how certain people reacted.
Oh, no, go for it. It's all you.
Like, Ron was tripping. Like, Harry said he didn't put his name in there. And even if Harry put his name in there, why does it bother you? That's when Ron let Harry know how he really felt. He was like, I'm sick of being in your shadow, okay? He goes, I'm sick of you having all this money and nice things. I'm over here looking for table scraps. And I'm like, dude, like, well, you know, you kind of seen it building up. And so that kind of upset me that Ron just was so upset that he believed that his friend put his name in there. And even if he did, oh, well, because Ron was acting like if his name was chosen that he was going to win. Ron is dumb. Ron is not a very bright person. He's very mediocre. So he probably was going to end up being a CEO of a company because that's the type they go for. That, you know, so I didn't like Ron. Like, he gets my nerves.
Yeah, he's a whiny redhead fuck.
Yeah. Mediocre as fuck, too.
And so Harry's like, yeah, motherfucker, I didn't do anything to get my name in there. And Ron is like, fuck you, dude. And they stop talking. I swear, somebody stops talking to somebody in every book. Like, every book, somebody right. falls out. And so school starts back up again, and hella other people also think Harry somehow magicked his name into the Goblet of Fire, so they're not fucking with him. And the first task is coming up in the Triwizard Tournament, and Harry is worried. They had a weighing of the wands, which I guess is like when you weigh boxes before they have the match, and a reporter named Rita Skeeter ran up on Harry.
I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
It sounds like a porn name. Rita Skeeter.
Skeet, 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 skeet.
Just saying.
Yep. She ran up on Harry and interviewed him for what she said is a story about the tournament, but instead she published a sappy, exaggerated article about his tragic past.
She write on the she basically writes stories from them websites with that, like, she basically, like, a Russian. She just makes stuff up. Them Russian bot sites, that's what she is.
Mm-hmm. So, a few nights before the task, Hagrid invited Harry for a late-night walk, told him to put on his invisibility cloak, and goes walking with the Madam of Beauxbatons, who was also a giant. Her name is Madam Maxime.
Mm-hmm.
Madam Maxime. And so they go walking in the night, and Hagrid leads her to a pit full of dragons, a pit with four dragons in it. Harry hurries home, and in the Gryffindor common room fireplace, Sirius's head appears, warning Harry that Karkaroff, who was the head of Durmstrang, was a Death Eater and is possibly still dangerous. And that Mad-Eye Moody was the ministry's best dark wizard catcher ever, and it's probably at Hogwarts because Karkaroff is there. He's there for a reason.
Right.
The next day, Harry warned Cedric about the first task. Moody overheard that and commended Harry on his decency, and hints that Harry should probably use his broomstick to get past the dragon.
Yes.
So then Harry and Hermione spend, like, hours practicing summoning charms, and on the day of the first task, Harry summons his broomstick and flies past the dragon, capturing the golden egg and receiving high marks. Everyone in Gryffindor is ecstatic, and then Ron finally apologized to Harry. So for the whole first term, Ron and Harry don't talk. But after this gets done, Ron's like, man, I always knew you were telling the truth.
Ugh, because Ron, nobody wants to be Ron's friend. Like, Harry's all he got because Ron's is a whiny bitch. And Ron realized, oh, people don't like that? No, motherfucker, people don't like that.
And so soon after that, Hermione drug Harry and Ron down to the kitchen where they ran into Dobby, who's hella happy that he's free.
Freedom!
And Winky, Mr. Crouch's ex-house elf, because after the wand incident, Mr. Crouch gave her some clothing and freed her without her consent.
Right, and she wasn't too happy.
Mm-hmm. She was actually in the kitchen getting drunk and shit.
Yeah, she became an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm. But
Hermione kept trying to advocate for her and kept saying, like, no, life is better. And she was like, no, life is not better. She just cried. But yeah, it was really sad for her because the way she was just so upset and she just wouldn't stop crying. But the other house elves were like, she's doing too much. She had gone somewhere and just sit. They just told her just to go sit by the fire and just drink because they were just done with her nonsense. So no one cared about Winky, but Hermione, because why? She's a good person.
Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, yeah. Side note. When they seen them, Ron was down there ordering the house elves to go get him some cookies and some ice cream and all kinds of other stuff. Just so you know, that's the type of person he is. He wasn't even there. He wasn't even caring. He was like, oh, can I get some extra food, though? Just a side note. Because Ron ain't shit. Him and Sirius.
Never shit. And so Professor McGonagall announced that the Yule Ball is approaching and that the champions must find partners. Harry gathered his courage to ask Cho Chang, who he had a crush on, but then found out that she was going with Cedric because he took too long.
Right.
Hermione has a date, but won't say who it is. And she gets annoyed when Ron asks her as his last resort date.
Yeah, and then he tried to hit the, ain't nobody asked you.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, well, actually, I'm a baddie.
And so, finally, Harry and Ron ask the pretty but pretty annoying Patil twins as their partners to the Yule Ball. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, this is the book, I believe, where Lavender turned white in the movies. Yeah, I think this is the movie where Lavender turned white because she showed up at, they showed her in the, at the Yule Ball.
Yeah, she turned white this one.
Which is a shame. Like, she was black everywhere else and then they made her into white. So they go to the Yule Ball. Ron is wearing his awful dress robes and spends the entire night staring at Hermione. Now, Hermione, somewhere in between the first task and the Yule Ball, gets into a fight with Millicent Bulstrode, or was it Parker Pansy Parkinson? One of them Slytherin girls. Anyhow, she gets cursed, and her teeth grow hella big, so yep. She has to go to the nurse's office. And nobody sees her again until around the time of the Yule Ball. Turns out she may have lied a little bit about how large her front teeth actually were. And now her smile is stunning and she looks like a million bucks. And Ron is like, I wish I had her.
Right? And she was looking the bomb. And you know she had to do a lot for her hair because you know she got that 4C grade hair. So it wasn't just like the other girls, you know, let me just wet the comb and go. She had a, you know, well, she magicked it up her hair really good. And she was looking like a little baddie. She was looking like a little cake, tasty. Mm-hmm. And Ron was being a hater. He was being a hater.
Mm-hmm. And so Ron, after that, doesn't like Victor Crumb anymore. And so as time goes on, the souvenir that Ron had bought from the Quidditch World Cup, which was a action figure of Victor Crumb walking around, somehow the legs get broken off, or else the head gets torn off, or an arm or something. And this thing's actually really walking around, living its life. And Ron got mad and ripped some body part off of it.
Because Ron is what we call a hater.
Yep. Harry spends the whole night feeling miserable about Cho and Cedric. And so Harry and Ron leave the ball for a stroll, during which they hear Hagrid telling Madame Maxime that he is half giant. After the ball that night, Cedric hints for Harry to take a bath with the golden egg, because Harry helped him out in the first trial. Harry is like, I don't really trust you, not for any real reason, but because, you know, you're dating the girl that I think is cute.
Pretty much.
And so Harry doesn't do it for like a really long time. He returns to the Gryffindor Tower to find that Hermione and Ron are having a huge fight about why she went to the bowl with Crumb instead of him, because that's all he cares about.
Yeah, and he ruined her day.
Like, the next day, yeah, he ruined her entire, like, it was, Ron is a fuck.
You know, he might be a nigga, though, because that's some nigga shit, though.
We petty.
Yeah.
But no, not with that red hair. I still just say that he's Ed Sheeran.
They do look alike.
Mm-hmm.
They might be the same person. Never seen them at the same place at the same time.
Mm-hmm. The next day, Hagrid isn't teaching his Care for Magical Creatures class because Rita Skeeter wrote an article saying that his ancestors, who were giants, gave him a violent and dangerous nature.
Ugh.
He was embarrassed and refused to emerge from his cabin. During a trip to Hogsmeade, Ludo Bagman offered to help Harry with the tournament and mentioned that Mr. Crouch had stopped coming to work, but then he takes off when the twins see him and start coming at him. Like, Mr. Bagman, we need to talk to you.
He's like, gotta go.
Gotta go. Hermione insults Rita for writing such horrible articles, and they return to Hogwarts, visit Hagrid, and persuade him to return. Hagrid is grateful for their loyalty, and he begs Harry to win the tournament. That night, Harry takes his egg into the bathtub and holds it underwater. It sings that he will have an hour to reclaim something valuable that has been taken into the lake. On his way back to the dorm from the bathroom, Harry, wearing his invisibility cloak, checks his Marauder's map and spies Mr. Crouch in Snape's office. In his surprise, he drops his golden egg, which makes a loud screeching noise. Snape and Filch appear instantly, of course. And Moody also appears and sees Harry through his invisibility cloak.
Yep,
because of his eye.
Mm-hmm.
The eye that sees all. And so he's like, you know what? Moody asks to borrow the Marauder's map, which shows every part of the Hogwarts grounds and castle and where everybody is. He's like, yo, let me hold on to that. And so they give it to him, and they dip out.
And he ain't think nothing of it.
Mm-hmm. And so he looks, he still sees Harry through the invisibility, through his eye, and he's like, close one, eh, Harry? And Harry's like, yeah, nigga, whatever. And so Harry's so happy, he doesn't even think about his map anymore. Harry still hasn't figured out how to breathe underwater to get the second task done. He falls asleep in the library, and he's awakened in the morning by Dobby, who gives him a ball of gillyweed and sends him to the lake. The gillyweed gives Harry gills, so he swims easily through the lake and finds Hermione, Ron, Cho, and Flora's sister asleep and tied together in the Merpeople's village. Harry could have taken first place because all he had to do was take Ron and take him back upstairs or back to the surface. But he's scared that everybody's going to die if he leaves everybody else behind. So Floor never shows up.
Right.
So he comes back and he takes her sister. He picks up her sister and Ron and swims to the surface. He comes up in last place, but he gains high marks for his moral fiber and his completion of the task. Soon afterwards, Rita, who was mad at Hermione for talking shit about her articles, makes another article saying that Hermione toys with the hearts of both Harry and Victor Crumb. The three friends read the article, and after that, niggas start flaming the shit out of Hermione. It's like social media.
Yeah, basically they try to cancel her. She's getting death threats. She getting what are those called? The letters that they scream at you. She getting those.
She's getting howlers.
Howlers, yeah. She's mm-hmm. getting howlers. They threaten to send her poison. They come in for her. And she's like, I don't even like her. I don't even know. That is not my man. And right. And then they don't Ron ask her, well, do you like Harry? And she's like,
Nigga, you stupid.
You're stupid and you're poor. You don't marry stupid and poor, Hermione. That's just like a black woman. We always just go, sometimes we lessen ourselves for men sometimes, and we need to stop doing that. Like, Hermione should have, that was her only flaw. A man, like most women, a man will weaken us.
Say that again. So, after class, Harry overhears Karkaroff confiding fearfully in Snape that his dark mark, which is on his arm, is starting to show up and burn. Snape is like, yeah, whatever, nigga. Karkaroff is like, ain't you scared? And Snape is like, nah, because unlike you, I didn't snitch on niggas to stay free.
Facts.
So, and then gave him that sideways look, like the head just tilted all the way to the side, like that old black woman in the memes.
Yes.
And so the following day, Harry, Ron, and Hermione met Sirius in Hogsmeade, and he's disguised as Padfoot, the large black dog. In Hogsmeade, he informs them that Mr. Crouch's son was convicted as a Death Eater, and he finds it peculiar that Mr. Crouch has not been coming to work, as well as that he never showed up to take the seat saved by Winky, his house elf, at the World Cup. Meanwhile, after that happens, back at Hogwarts, Harry, Ron, and Hermione visited the kitchen because Hermione's been making a gang of socks. Or a gang of something. So they gave Dobby socks for Christmas.
Right.
Who's delighted. Winky is sad and still currently drunk. And she mentioned between hiccups that she's guarding a great secret for her ex-master. Gosh. The four champions are taken to see the grounds for the maze, which is their third task. And on the way back, Crumb pulls Harry into the forest to ask if he is at all romantically interested in Hermione. Or Hermione, as he called her. When Harry answers no, a disheveled Mr. Crouch appears from the forest, speaking to trees and madly demanding to see Dumbledore. Harry runs to get Dumbledore while Crumb waits for Mr. Crouch. And when Harry returns, Mr. Crouch has stunned Crumb and disappeared, much to everyone's puzzlement. Sirius sends Harry another letter, warning him to be careful and practice hexes for the third task. Harry tries to follow both instructions. In punk-ass divination class, he fell asleep and had another dream about Voldemort. And he woke up screaming because Voldemort was punishing Wormtail for not completing a task. If I remember correctly, he was like, yeah, nigga, also cut your fucking hand off.
Because why? Voldemort is an asshole.
Right? Cut your fucking hand off.
Like, for no reason. He goes, cut your hand off. But not, I said cut it off. Versus, at this point, cut your hand off. It doesn't even matter. You've gone this far. So what's a hand?
Hey, Mr. Voldemort, sir. Mr. Voldemort, we can do this without my hand getting cut off. I could, you know what? Fuck it. Actually, after that, Harry woke up screaming, and then he left the class to go to tell Dumbledore what happened, but Dumbledore's not in his office. While he's gone, Harry sees a pensieve in Dumbledore's office, and he gets nosy because Harry's a white person, and looks at Dumbledore's memories of various Death Eater trials, including that of Lugo Bagman, who they actually let go because they said he was too stupid to do what they thought he did. Karkaroff, who literally went in there snitching on everybody moving.
Right. And then his first couple of snitches, they were like, we know that. Tell us something we don't know.
Do you know I got a third toe named Silas? So then he also saw Bellatrix Lestrange, and he saw Mr. Crouch's son, all of their trials. Mr. Crouch's son, his dad, Mr. Crouch, was like, essentially, fuck you, I don't have a son. Drag him off to jail. His wife subsequently died from a broken heart because she was like, please don't put my son in jail. And his dad was like, fuck you too, motherfucker. He did bad. He's got to go. Dumbledore returns and pulls Harry from the memory world and says, after listening to Harry's story, that he suspects that Voldemort is growing stronger. On the morning of the third class, or third task, Rita Skeeter prints an article about how Harry fainted in class and is possibly mentally disturbed.
He's not mentally disturbed, but he probably got some mental issues due to the years and years of emotional abuse he received. I'm just saying, she ain't too far off.
They fucked him up.
They did.
Fuck him up bad. Like, they did the thing. The evening of the task, the four champions enter the maze, and Harry finds his path relatively easy. Soon, both Fleur and Crumb are out of the running, and Harry and Cedric are the only two remaining, and they arrive at the trophy at the same time. Harry's like, you take it, because you were supposed to be in this motherfucker in the first place. Plus, if it wasn't for you, I would have never figured out how to breathe underwater. You really helped me with that second task, my nigga. And Cedric is like, dude, like, yo, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have figured out how to finish the first task. Them dragons were big as shit, my nigga. You did that shit. We should be besties now. Harry's like, hey, we still ain't talked about the fact that you're currently going out with the girl I got a crush on, but we're going to let that pass. Like,
you sleep? He goes, well, next time roll up on the bitch. Don't wait.
Right? Shoot your shot, nigga. You had the ball at half court, and I just stole it and dribbled up real slow.
I think Cedric might be – I only know black people named Cedric. I'm just going to throw that out there.
That is true.
Yeah. There's a black dude at my job named Cedric. He looked like Cedric the Entertainer, and he dressed like Cedric the Entertainer. And so sometimes I'm wondering, does Cedric the Entertainer got a part-time job at my job? I mean, he don't really work, though. I don't know what he does. He said he's been with the company for 16 years. I've never actually seen him work. I just seen him strolling up and down the hallways, saying hi to people and having small talk. That's a very black thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. I might work with Cedric the Entertainer. Don't know it.
So they're like, all right, man, here's what we're going to do since we're doing the you hang up thing and time is running out. At the count of three, we're both going to grab this fucking trophy at the same time. We're both going to win. We'll get half the money. Everybody's happy. We get girls. They count down and they grab the trophy at the same time. And it turns out the trophy is a fucking portkey. And it takes both boys to a faraway graveyard where a man in a hood immediately kills the fuck out of Cedric.
Yeah.
Like, immediately.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, Avada Kedavra. Like, lay down. No, they show up and they're like, oh, somebody extra is here. Avada Kedavra. Not anymore, my niggas. So.
Right. It was very sad. Like, to be honest, I was kind of upset. Like, I think that's the first time I really got upset in the books because I was like, y'all just killing kids? I said, what are y'all, Planned Parenthood? I was just kidding. That joke. Like, one time somebody said my joke was too far when I said Thanos is like Planned Parenthood. He just kills all the babies because he killed Spider-Man. And someone goes, too far, too far. I was like, oh, shut up.
Never too much.
Hey, when Francis listens to this, he won't get that reference. He'll be like,
And so they tie up Harry, who's screaming out Cedric's name, and the man, who's Wormtail, drops a bundle he's carrying, and I fucked up. This is where Wormtail cuts his hand off.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He cuts his hand off here. You're right.
Because there's a ceremony that he has to do where he says the blood of the enemy taken unwillingly, and he cuts Harry.
Right.
The ashes of the father taken whatever, and he pours the ashes of Voldemort's dad into a cauldron. He takes blood from Harry unwillingly and from his arm and drops it into the cauldron. And then he says, and the arm of the servant given willingly, and he cuts his arm off.
Was it given willingly, though?
No, but, you know, like, how willingly can't you give it when you fucking with Voldemort?
Wait, so does that make Wormtail equivalent to Luke Skywalker? Because both of them are missing a hand, or no?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Okay, so pretty much almost the same person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Francis is standing here shaking his head saying no, no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is, Francis. Francis, you're not on the show, so you can't say anything. Bye!
Where's my house?
That's all he can say. Bye, baby, I love you!
And so, let's see, what else? So, after he drops his arm into the cauldron, Voldemort rises from the cauldron, fully grown. And Voldemort presses a tattoo of the dark mark on Wormtail's arm, and suddenly Death Eaters just start apparating all in a circle around him. Voldemort starts monologuing and tells Harry and his Death Eaters that his fall from grace and back to power, and then he challenges Harry to a duel.
I like how Voldemort was like, you weren't here. Where were you? Dead. Where were you? Here. Dead. And then when he gets to Lucius, Lucius like, hold up, my nigga. I was here for you. I was doing your work, because he's about to get Lucius. He's like, wait. He goes, hold up now. I ain't like these other ones. I like how he did that.
Mm-hmm. And when they start dueling, Harry's prepared for death, but he manages to use a disarming spell on Voldemort just as Voldemort cries Avada Kedavra at Harry. The light from the two wands meet in midair and remains connected, and Voldemort's past victims emerge from his wand and protect Harry once the wand is broken, including his mom and his dad. Which gives him time to grab Cedric's body and touch the trophy, which returns him to Hogwarts. Once Harry returns, he's weak and shaken. Moody carries him into the castle, and then Moody reveals that he's a Death Eater, and he's always been Voldemort's number one servant, and that killing Harry is just going to be like, then he'll take me back. I alone was loyal to him when everybody else dipped out. That's what he keeps muttering to himself.
Right.
Moody also informed Harry that Karkaroff felt his dark mark burn, and he fled into the night. Moody prepares to kill Harry when Dumbledore and other teachers burst into the room, stunning Moody and saving Harry. Dumbledore explains to Harry that Moody's body is a disguised version of Mr. Crouch's son, the young Barty, and that he made the switch.
Because he's been drinking that stuff.
That Polly juice potion every hour. After some time, the potion wore off and Harry recognized Barty Crouch. Snape gave Crouch some truth serum, and Crouch explains how his father smuggled him out of prison and allowed him to live under an invisibility cloak, guarded by Winky, and a loudmouth talk a lot from the Ministry of Magic named Bertha Jorkins discovered him and was ultimately relieved from that memory and information by Voldemort, who ultimately killed her. That was at the beginning of the book. My bad.
Yeah. Well, they just said she's been gone missing. They never confirmed was she dead or not, but it kept coming up like, ain't nobody found her, and they were saying how dingy and dumb she was, like how forgetful she was, and I think somewhere in the book they were like, well, she always wasn't like that. She was a very pretty, smart woman, and then somehow they put two and two together that she was dingy. She became stupid and forgetful because of something Voldemort and them did to her. So yeah, they mentioned that somewhere in the book, but they didn't have that in the movie, though, so y'all good.
Mm-hmm. And so, Barty says he killed his father, and he was hoping to bring Voldemort back to power by bringing Harry to him. Dumbledore then took Harry into his own office because Barty went back to Azkaban, probably to get the kiss from the Dementors.
Right.
Dumbledore asked Harry to explain what he saw in the graveyard to him and Sirius, who has arrived. After listening to Harry, Dumbledore explains that the wands of Harry and Voldemort are made of feathers from the same phoenix, which is false. The phoenix that saved Harry in the Chamber of Secrets. So one was forced to regurgitate its spells when the two wands met. Harry was sent to bed. And in the middle of the night, he's awakened by an argument between Cornelius Fudge and Dumbledore, in which Dumbledore tries unsuccessfully to persuade Fudge to take precautions against Voldemort's new power, which includes stopping the Dementors from being the guardians of Azkaban. Fudge still doesn't believe that Voldemort is back in power, and he says that Dumbledore's just trying to take over the Ministry of Magic. He gives Harry the tournament prize money and leaves huffily. Soon after the term ends at the final dinner, Dumbledore makes a speech telling everybody how Cedric was murdered by Voldemort, how the future looks bleak, and it'll require them to work together. Fred and George mentions to Harry how Ludo Bagman had juxed them out of their money, out of their winnings from winning the bet at the World Cup by giving them leprechaun money, which disappeared on them.
Right.
And so Harry gives them his bag of winnings. On the train ride back to London, Hermione shows Harry and Ron a beetle in a jar, which is Rita Skeeter. It turns out that she's an unregistered animagus. And that's how she's able to get all these scoops, because she keeps turning into a ladybug and sitting on motherfuckers' shoulders, including Draco Malfoy, who was whispering a gang of ill shit in her ear that she was using to create dirt against Harry and Hermione.
And Hermione noticed that, because she said, because there was a part of the book where she was looking at Draco, and you know, one thing black women we can do is we can read some lips, and she noticed, and we notice everything. It's like, where were you at? I was at my mom's house. Well, what was there? What was in the background? Because see, we know everything. We can tell you where you at, what were you doing, and how many chips you ate out the bag. And that's basically how she got a reader skeet skeet, because Hermione is black.
Mm-hmm. And so then, as the students leave the train, Harry asks that the twins use some of their money to buy Ron a new pair of dress robes. And then he returned to the Dursleys for the summer.
Oh, yeah, because that's right. He gave the twins the money that he won, because he's like, I don't need this blood money. And he was like, because see, this is how you know that he knows deep down Ron don't deserve shit. He gave the money to his brothers so they can get their store popped up. And then he said, oh, yeah, and go throw your brother a dollar or two to get him some robes. Not nothing else. He didn't say give him anything else. He said, just give him enough money for some robes, nothing else. Not no spending money, not no money to get some new shoes, get some books next year, because he know he's stupid, so he don't need no books. So I'm just saying, did y'all peep that? He's like, nah, just give him a new robe that he ain't going to use.
Mm-hmm. This is the longest book that I have read in the Harry Potter series. Like, the way that the length of book three and the length of book four were like, what the fuck? Book four was like 1,000 pages, it seems.
Yes. But there was a lot of moving parts, because they took out Bagman. He wasn't in the actual movie. So the movie I did not like, because the way that the ending was in the movie versus the way the ending of the book was, like, basically they wrapped it up real quick. Like, Harry came back from the maze, and then they're like, and then they found out Moody wasn't Moody, and then they just ended it right, like, they basically ended it, like, right after that. Like, there wasn't really anything for you to know about Mr. Crouch and all of that, like I don't know, like, about how the Ministry of Magic has issues with Dumbledore. Like, they really just cut that out. Like,
So I did not like the ending of the movie. It kind of like bothered me, but the ending of the book was really good.
Yeah, it was. That shit was heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, in the movie, they're just like, oh, all this bad stuff happened. Just go fast, go fast, go fast. We're done. And but the book was just like, you know, you're actually able to process what went on versus the movie's like, okay, we're done. Bye. Catch us next year.
The part in the book where at the end where Harry comes back holding Cedric in his arms.
Right.
Whew, took me out.
I think they were able to convey that pretty well in the movie, I'll say, because I just watched it. I just remember when Cedric's dad was like, that's my son. That's my son. But I think they conveyed like the emotion of that pretty well. And they did convey like how when Harry came back, no one really understood what was going on. Like they're like, okay, they're back and people were cheering. And there was just Harry just like having a nervous breakdown. And it was like, there was a lot of confusion because if something like that happened, of course you'd be confused. You just know they left and came back. Mm-hmm. And I think in the movie, they did do that scene very well where you felt for Cedric's dad, like him yelling, hey, that's my son. That's my son.
So what did you think about the book overall?
I liked it. It's one of my faves. It's actually, I think it is my favorite book. Cause this one after this one, what is it again?
The Order of the Phoenix. Well, this one is the Goblet of Fire. After this one is the Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah. This one would be my top favorite one. And I think after this, my favorite book is The Half-Blood Prince. So it goes this one and The Half-Blood Prince. So this book I loved. And I think it was the first time in the series where, like you said, you got those, that emotion, especially when they were revealing about Crouch's son and what, like, you know, about how, like, he really like had to like turn in his son and like how it really like in the book, they don't like in the movie, they didn't really show how bad it like really hurt him. They just kind of made it seem like he was like whatever about it. But when they kind of went into that backstory about how like his wife, you know, like how bad it was and how was it the house elf was like ended up telling them that, right? Or is that mm-hmm. another? Yeah. So, yeah, like it was a lot of like loss in this and like realizing things aren't the way that you're going to make it seem. I think that was the theme of this book is the way that you thought this road and story was going to go. The way that life, you think that life is going to go. Sometimes it doesn't. Yes. Sorry, Francis is making me dinner. So yeah, I think that's what you got here. Cause when you think when you thought everything was getting good, sometimes life will just throw you a wrench. Like, so Harry thought he was doing good. He thought everything was kind of getting, you know, life was, you know, was great. And so did everyone in the Wizarding World. And then now Voldemort's back. And either do you believe it or not? Like, you know, and sometimes you got to face the truth and people don't want to face it. The same thing with Ron. He didn't want to face, like him and Hermione don't want to face the fact that they like each other. So they're going to keep playing these games. Well, Hermione wants to, she's accepts that she likes Ron, but Ron's still playing the, I don't know though. So it's a lot of like, do you want to face the truth or do you want to live in denial and reap the consequences of that? So that's what I got from the book.
Mm-hmm. So this book was the first book in the Harry Potter series to be released in the United States on the same date as in the United Kingdom on July the 8th, 2000. Strategically on a Saturday, so kids didn't have to worry about school conflicting with buying the book. It had a combined.
That was very. Oh, they did that purposely.
Yeah. And this is the first book that I can tell you I went to a midnight release for. I worked at Denny's. There was a Barnes. There was a Borders right across the street from my building at Denny's in Waldorf, Maryland, at the St. Charles Town Center or whatever it was called. Fuck Waldorf. And so I walked across the street and I bought my book and I walked back and I sat in the back room and ignored all of my customers and read. It was given a record-breaking print run of 3.9 million books, 3 million of which were sold over the first weekend in the U.S. alone. FedEx dispatched more than 9,000 trucks and 100 planes to fulfill book deliveries. Thank God that Amazon Prime wasn't out back then. Woo. Pressure and editing caused a mistake, which showed Harry's father emerging first from Voldemort's wand. However, as confirmed in Prisoner of Azkaban, James died first, so Harry's mother ought to have come out first, and this was corrected in later editions. I think I have the original book.
Wait, so there's an illustration that shows Harry's dad coming out of the wand first, or you said they said
they had written it, yeah, that Harry's dad came out and said, hold on. There's somebody here who's going to help you. Yeah.
Oh.
Let me see. What else? The Goblet of Fire has gotten mostly positive reviews. However, Kristen Lemmerman of CNN said that it is not great literature. Her prose has more in common with your typical beach blanket fare, and the beginning contained too much recap to introduce characters to new readers, although Rowling quickly gets back on track, introducing readers to a host of well-drawn new characters. Fuck you, woman. This book won several awards, including the 2001 Hugo Award for Best Novel. It won the 2002 Indian Paintbrush Book Award, which was the third in a row after The Sorcerer's Stone and Prisoner of Azkaban. And Entertainment Weekly listed The Goblet of Fire in second place on their list of the new classic books, the 100 best reads from 1983 to 2008. The movie grossed $102.7 million for the opening weekend and eventually grossed $896 million worldwide. That woman is rich as fuck.
Yes, and trolling people on Twitter.
Oh, she ain't got nothing else. Like, nigga, if I'm rich, her and 50 Cent, more power to you. Both.
Right, like, that's the dream. That is the dream. Like, to sit, like, if I have that much money, you just, you know, just don't be like MC Hammer, employ everyone you know, and you'll be good. Like, just mind your business, do what you gotta do, drink your water, take your meds, take your vitamins, hit the gym a little bit, and troll people all day. That's what I did, you know, when I lost my job, when I was laid off earlier this year. I just sat around, looked for a job, you know, got up every morning, dropped off Luke at the babysitter, went to the gym, came home, ate some breakfast, and trolled people and looked for jobs. It was the best 3 months of my life, and I lost 12 pounds. I got laid off with a 3 month severance package. So I was living that good life, you know what I'm saying?
Not all people are laid off like that, so, you know, but if you ever are so blessed with 3 month severance, use it to tell people. Make your health better.
Nikki?
Yes.
I don't know why, but you sound hella distant.
How do I sound now?
You sound like you were away from the microphone for a second, but now you sound perfect.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I moved my laptop. I apologize.
No worries.
I'm back.
So the next book in the series is Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, which I also call Harry Potter Fights Puberty. And oh no, Harry Potter Fights Everybody.
Right. Yes. And that teacher lady comes.
Mm-hmm. Is this the Dawn of Umbridge?
Yes, Umbridge.
Oh, God. Who, if you listened to Single Simulcast Villain List Part 2, she was voted as the number one villain of all time.
Because she is.
She's such a white woman. I can't wait to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. I think that's what because she reminds you of every boss that you ever had that they know the rules, but they don't like what you did. So they go and make a rule so you can't do that no more. Like, oh, we're going to make this new policy. Like, you know, like something stupid. Like, you can't wear, I don't know, like no eating at your desk. Well, why can I eat at my desk? Well, because, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then you're sitting there eating like a granola bar. Well, no eating at your desk. Now I'm a granola bar. I understand you want me eating my fish filet sandwich here, but now I'm a granola bar. That's the type of... A what?
I'm like, that's where we're at, nigga. I can't even eat a granola bar at my desk. Like, maybe not pizza. Okay, I'll give you that, but not even a granola bar. Word for why?
Or like, oh no, no beverages at your desk besides water. Yeah, that's the type she is. The one who times your breaks. Like, oh, you left your desk at 8:10, came back at 8:30. That was a 20-minute break, and you're just like, why are you like this? That's who she is. That's basically who she is. Or the lady in the checkout line who's holding up the line because she got some mixed up, so they're going to send a worker to go check it, but she won't let other people go around while they're waiting on her. That's her. Like, oh, ma'am, would you like to pull off to the side so we can help someone else? No, I'll just stand here. And you're just like, all right, I got you. That's her.
Well, go ahead and do your shout outs, Nikki.
I would like to shout out, I'm not going to name them by names, but I'm going to shout out my three friends who referred me to new jobs this week. And shout out to this very nice COO of a healthcare company out here that I met on an airplane because I was traveling for business, and he was a very nice guy. And I kept his contact information because he said, if you ever want a job, let me know, because he thought I was a really smart person. And he got me an interview with this company. So shout out to all the people who are trying to get me out of this horrible place that I work now to work for a better company. I mean, just work with a company where I can work remotely so I don't have to see my coworkers. That's all I want. I just want to work from my home 2 to 3 days a week and not see coworkers. Is that too much to ask for? So shout out to all the people trying to help me put more money in my pocket and be a saner human being. Because that's what Harry Potter taught me. Fuck these niggas. Get the fuck out of here. That's what it taught me, because that's all Hogwarts is. It's a school that you just got to get through to get your little diploma so you can go get a job.
And I just want to give a shout out to myself for giving great reference. I give great reference.
I'll let you know if I need you.
Okay. Well, y'all, thank y'all so much for listening. Like we always do about this time, we want to tell you that this is available on Patreon. All you have to do is become a Patreon member. It'll be coming out on Patreon likely tonight or tomorrow morning, which is Monday morning. And then it'll be coming out to everybody else when I feel like it.
So I'm okay with that. Cause
I mean, literally, the last episode just came out today because I got busy and I just didn't feel like it. Like, if y'all want to hear these episodes, actually become a Patreon member.
I'm a Patreon member so I can listen, because I like giving money to the black arts. Because I support my people like Hermione does.
Give money to the blacks, y'all. Give it.
Black-owned business right here. Support your people. Black Friday, don't be going to Target. Black man don't own that. Give your money to the podcast. Put your $5 on that.
Exactly.
And is it $5? I don't know how much it is. Whatever it is, put your money on the Patreon. Look, it just comes out my account. I got about 4 or 5 Patreon subscriptions, so it all comes out at once.
And I see that none of y'all want to call in and leave a voicemail. I'm just saying, what y'all say in the dark comes to light. Like, y'all going to get this smoke eventually. But go ahead and leave a voicemail if you feel brolic enough. Nikki will answer.
I love answering voicemails.
So 916-633-1537 is a voicemail number. You can also send an email to singlesimulcast@gmail.com. Anyway, it goes. Thank y'all so much for listening. We greatly appreciate it. Nikki is available on Twitter at Miss Nerdy Nikki. That's NIKKI. And I am available on Twitter at Rashani, RASHANII.
Yay, Rashani.
Thank y'all so much for listening. Y'all be good. Peace.
Bye.
This is Single Simulcast. Don't know by now, did you say?